one word about Pastor Steve DeVries. He was my pastor when I was in Bangkok for 3 years. Whenever I hear him, I'm really moved by his message. An amazing pastor. And this person, the second speaker, is Pastor Ryan. Actually, he was in Bangkok church also, but after I left Bangkok. But he was he's an amazing disciple. He studied there, Bible college in Bangkok. And then they were doing a Bible study in a place called Mahacha. It's like 100 kilometers away. 60 kilometers away. They were doing they used to go back and forth for a few years. And he moved in there permanently, I think last 4 or 5 years, I think. So he's been there for the last 5 years. I've been to Bangkok. I met him in the church in Bangkok. I've been to his church personally. Amazing church. I felt at home whenever I was there in his church. And I was amazingly ministered by his messages whenever he spoke. I've been with him in Cambodia also. I've seen his heart for the lost people. Great investor in the lives of the individuals. Let's welcome our Pastor Ryan.
It's great to be here. Love from Thailand. We have many brothers and sisters there, and my wife and I were here many years ago, and just this year, it's been so long with our child. We've been thinking about, fellowshipping with the body at a conference, and we were praying. It seemed impossible, but then just prayed and prayed, and God really opened the door, and my wife and I were so excited that we could come, and we're so glad to be here with you. And my wife's not here because she knows I'm going to preach, so she's just going to spend time, which is normal. It's okay. So just thank you, Pastor Brian, for having us over, and just everybody. And I was really blessed to see faces that I saw 10 years ago, and really encourages and warms my heart to just be here once again. Great. Great word from Pastor Steve also. And just quickly, we'll Luke chapter 18. Just like to look at a simple parable that Jesus spoke, and just try to draw from that and see what was he really communicating. We're in verse 9, and verse 9, and he also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So it's the context is clearly stated, right? Like, who is speaking? Who is he speaking to? And I love this word too, that Jesus spoke to the ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So he clearly had the audience in mind, that he's speaking to a group of people. We know who they are, and my name is in there at different times, when I can get careless and wander away, right? That they trusted in themselves, but what did they trust in themselves? They said that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And righteousness is a very, very important, central foundational theme in the scriptures, and we have been taught so much about it in the ministry, and this is really dealing with that point this evening. And and sometimes, as a Yi was the first one, there were two people in the church in Mahachai. Okay, 2006, it was an outreach, and then it became a Bible study. Jar and I were dating for about 1 year, and that's when Pastor Walsh said, okay, you guys need some spiritual fellowship, so go do an outreach to Mahachai. And so we went, and she was one of the women from a Christian woman there who wanted something more than what she was getting, and she used to come out for the Bible studies, and I feel so sorry for her. I mean, thinking about, how I used to be in 2006, and she kept coming faithfully and faithfully, didn't complain, But I would... Just looking back, I mean, she stuck through some of the difficult times where I would talk about the Bible from a point that was maybe very theoretical and doctrine is so important, but I kind of failed to sort of bring the doctrine into the like reality, like everyday life. You know, how does righteousness affect your everyday life when you're buying coffee from a guy and then he shouts at you and you get really upset that he cheated you? You know, is there a connection between that coffee experience or that auto experience? Sorry, I come back after 10 years and I get a culture shock, and I'm Indian now. So, you know, is there a connection between righteousness that we study and the amazing solid teaching and, you know, that auto rickshaw guy, you know? And it, when you see this, it seems there is a very, very intimate connection. Like, these guys were walking around Jerusalem and Israel, and they were looking at others with contempt because, not because of any fault of ours. I mean, it was not primarily because of our fault, but Jesus says it was, they did that because they viewed themselves, they believed in themselves that they were righteous. So this is the context in which Christ is speaking, and I'm sure all of us would agree, you know, we know our hearts. We know, I mean, before we became a Christian, I mean, this was where our hearts would stay and dwell and live in, right? Believing in ourselves and the fact that we are righteous. And I love the fact that in this verse that Jesus knew who he was talking to, and he spoke, it says he spoke this parable to them. You know, I mean, Jesus loved the prostitute, but he also loved the Pharisee. He loved them enough to speak straight to them so that they can be free of this cancer of the human heart. And I really want to just look at that this evening. And when you read that verse, it's so clear that if the way I view myself has a relationship to the way I view God and the way I view, you know, my neighbor, there is a very, very intimate connection between that. The way I view myself will affect the way I view God and the way I view my neighbor. And that's really what I want to communicate this evening, and to see how that happens in this parable. So the problem is very clear. They view themselves that they are righteous in themselves, you know. And because of that, they looked at others with contempt. Now, as Christians, sometimes we have a problem applying, you know, the Gospels with the epistles, and, you know, but I'm righteous, right? And it's so true. And I just think that there's two kinds of righteousness that's spoken of in the Scriptures. And we are righteous. Are we righteous? Absolutely. And the songs and the messages tell us that we are righteous. But what's the difference between this righteousness that Jesus treated as a cancer? Like, he attacked that so much in his ministry when he was dealing with the Pharisees. He attacked this kind of righteousness. And he said, this is wrong. This is not the way God thinks. But there is a righteousness that God has in mind, and that they're not the same. So we might use the same word, you know, righteousness, but I think if we study the Scriptures, we will see there are really two kinds of righteousness we're talking about. The kind that we have is of God, you know. It is not a righteousness that is by doing. It's like God is not righteous because he does things right. He's righteous because he is right, and he can't do anything wrong. His righteousness is not something he derives. It's something that he is. It's who he is, you know. And this righteousness is not the righteousness that Jesus is talking about here. So we can easily first, like, separate the two, you know. And so God's righteousness is absolute rightness. It's that plumb line that's described. The plumb line that's used to build everything else. And you have to have that rightness, otherwise you cannot build anything else. So that righteousness is what belongs to God and no one else. And this is what Paul talks about, that there is no one righteous but God. So that righteousness belongs only to God. It's in him, it's his nature, it's his character. And Christ possessed that. And the Bible says we come in contact with that righteousness when we mix faith in the sacrifice of Christ, and that is imputed to us. You know, it is imputed. God gives it to us. And that's where we start, we have our connection with the righteousness of God. It is that imputation of God when we place faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in us and we become the temple of God because we are righteous. This is how the Bible talks about as us being righteous. We are righteous because God gives us His righteousness. It's not a righteousness that we achieve by doing. It's a righteousness that we achieve, not achieve, but receive. We receive it from God. And in my heart, I'm a little excited because for the last 10 years, I've been preaching with translations, so I get a lot of time. Now I can actually speak in English. And it's kind of funny. My mind's like racing. So this is the righteousness that we have been given, and we are righteous in Christ. That's why our righteousness is because we are in Christ. It's not in ourselves. It's because we have been placed in Him through the Spirit of God. And we are righteous by His blood and by His sacrifice. So that's an amazing thing. And that's not proud. When we say we are righteous because of that, that's not a proud statement. And you know what? When we realize that we are righteous because of that, we will not look at our neighbor in contempt. How could we, right? That doesn't make it will not happen. But this righteousness, so that's biblical and that's true. But the righteousness that Christ is attacking here, he says that they were righteous. These guys believed that they were righteous in themselves, and they viewed the others with contempt, hatred. And man, that's whenever I have an attitude towards a brother or a sister or my child, sometimes, you know, it's an indicator. It shows the problem is not the outside. The problem is the inside. You know, I had a wife who, a wife in the church. I had a wife in the church who was having problems with her husband. Okay, I have one wife. I've always had one wife. Just that grammar came wrong. Okay, the wife in the church had a problem with her husband, and she kept on for 3 years. You know, this and that, and then I said, in one counseling session, I said, "He's not the problem." You don't believe he loves you. He loves you. You don't believe that. That's why he can sneeze and you get upset at him. And that guy sneezes. So she's like, "I don't believe my husband loves me." "I don't think you do. Think about it." And you know, she went back and she thought about it. And then, you know, sneezing didn't become that much of a problem for some time. But you know, the problem is not the outside. It's like my heart. You know, what's happening on the inside is very important. So the problem with these Pharisees was that they thought that they were righteous in themselves. It was the righteousness based upon doing. And this is very common in Thailand. It's doing and it's also in proportion. Because, I mean, they would agree that, you know, they do bad things. They make boo-boos sometimes, you know. But their good stuff is outweighing the bad stuff. And if the good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, then they are righteous. That's how they would think. And Thailand is filled with that kind of thinking, that I'm a good person, I'm a righteous person because I do more good than bad. And the Pharisees was that the righteousness was a derived righteousness. And because of that, they looked at themselves as righteous of themselves. And therefore, they looked at their brother or their sisters and their countrymen with contempt. So Jesus, he gave them a parable. And he wanted to really, I mean, shock the Pharisees. Like, you know what? You can go around in your religious system, you know, and you have your rules and you're playing games and you think you have authority and you can go to Pilate and then you can go to Caesar and use them to do whatever you want. You think you can do that. But let me just give you heaven's perspective, because, you know, after your short little life, you stand before God. Let me just give you heaven's perspective and how God sees things from His perspective. So he gives them this parable, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and other a tax gatherer. And I read that and I was like, man, I was kind of scared because, man, I can be so wrong. I can be absolutely wrong and still want to go to the temple and pray, you know. I could be a Pharisee, but I want religious activity. I want to go to the temple and I want to pray. Just because I'm thinking wrong doesn't mean that I would walk away from God all the time. You know, and I was like, wow, I could be wrong and I could be sitting next to Pastor Benny and I'm sitting in church and I'm lifting my hands up and I'm worshiping, you know. But man, and I could be absolutely wrong, sitting on the right hand side of Pastor Benny. Yeah? some of them are laughing, Pastor Brian. I could be absolutely wrong at the same time, you know, worshiping God. And the Pharisees were going to the temple. Not just the synagogues, but they were going into the temple. And they wanted to have a relationship with God on their terms. They wanted to have a relationship with God on their terms. God, I know righteousness is important to you, but, you know, I'm going to tell you what kind of righteousness I'm going to come in. You know, it's not going to be through the sacrificial system that you gave through Moses, but I'm going to come in through a distorted view of the commandments that you gave Moses. And that should be okay with you. God, don't debate with me too much, you know. Not through the sacrifice. I'm not going to bring a goat, be justified by the, you know, cover my sins by the sacrifice of an animal like you said. But I'm going to take the commandments and I'm going to pick some of them, you know, as something that I can do. And I'm going to justify myself. And I'm going to feel right. I'm not right, but I feel right. And I'm going to come with that righteousness into the temple, into the same temple that, you know, we see in the Old Testament where we see, you know, Moses going into the presence of God and he comes out with glory on his face, you know, and that's the kind of God they want to walk with, but they want to walk with on their terms. And the Pharisees were like that. They would come up. They wanted a relationship with God. The desire is nice, but that's not enough. They wanted to do that on their terms, and that's not nice. That's really scary. The Pharisees were so wrong and they went into church. And then there's the tax gatherer, you know, and I'm not going to, you know that, you guys are so well taught. So the tax gatherer also going into the same temple. So the Pharisee and the tax gatherer going into the temple. And Jesus says, the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Wow. Can you imagine this kind of a worship leader? Wow. Thank you, God. I'm so great. Pray for all the people here. Especially for those who rob money while they're doing business. The unjust guy. Those adulterers. And then those guys who work for the government and take my money and give it to, you know. Yeah. This is what it says. I mean, right? Thank you that I am not like other people. And he's just bringing out verse 9, right? He's just bringing out verse 9. Like, this is the result. If I trust that I am righteous in myself, a righteousness that's based upon doing something, you know, whether I am Christian or not, doing something, the result will be that I will look at my brother or my sister and I'll say, thank God I'm not like them. Well, no kidding. You are not like them. I am not like them. But that's the thinking. You see, the thinking that can come in because of self-righteousness, it's like really, really dangerous for me. And this is an indicator. Like when my thoughts towards my brother or sister start straying, I can realize, wait, I'm thinking wrong in some very, very important area. I need to go back. I need to talk with God. I need to get this right. And that will really have a huge effect in my life. So this Pharisee stands right in front and he's praying to God, saying, thank God, I'm not like these other people. He has a list. But then at the end he says, or even like this tax gatherer. Like he mentions three bad people in front, but he keeps the tax gatherer for at the end. You know, like he's the worst of them. Talk about swindler, unjust and adulterer. Like put all three of them together, multiply that 1,000 times and that's who the tax gatherer is. And I'm, thank God I'm not like him. That guy. You know, and Well, it says he was praying to himself. I don't know whether it meant that he he was praying like God didn't receive that prayer, as in like it wasn't going to God, it was just in himself, or he was praying quietly, I don't know. But looking at the attitude, I wouldn't be surprised that he was actually speaking it very loud, you know, even though he didn't have a microphone, standing here and making sure that that tax gatherer actually heard the prayer, even though he didn't have a microphone back then, you know. So it's possible that he could be praying this prayer loudly. And I want you to just think about, put ourselves in that tax gatherer's place, standing at the back, listening to the religious leader of that time praying like that. And he doesn't stop. Verse 12, you see very clearly, he believed he was righteous because I fast twice a week. Why? Fast twice a week. You mean you get up in the morning and you eat really big? I mean, the highest consumption of food in the Middle East is during the Ramadan period. I mean, so I don't know, fast twice a week. I'm sure it wasn't fasting like what Christ did in the wilderness, you know, 40 days, no food, trusting the Spirit of God, you know, weak physically. I don't think it was that kind. Fasting twice a week, I'm sure one was Monday and one was Friday, enough time to recover between the two. But you know what, maybe it was good for their wives, you know, they didn't have to cook a lot of one. Oh, thank God it's fasting day today, says the wife. Okay, so it's a fast twice a week and pay tithes of all that I get. So basically he talks about two things here. And he feels that he is better than the whole group because he fasts twice a week and he pays tithes. And that's why I think that this righteousness that Christ is attacking here is the righteousness that is achieved by man by making a list of commandments and trying to keep them, you know. And in Thailand we have this big problem. At least this guy, he chooses commandments that he can keep. In Thailand they say, I'm good because I can. In Thailand what I try to do is I try to convert them first to Buddhism. I make them Buddhists first and then I try to make them a Christian. Because there was this one guy, he said, oh, I'm a good person. I said, why? Because I keep the Buddhist law. I said, which one? The one that Buddha said or the five that you said? He said, yeah, the five. Okay, first of all, you got to keep the whole thing, the bunch that Buddha said. He said, but no, I keep the five. I said, what are the five? And he, first, you know, this and this. And he came to drinking, you know. And he started going slower. Should not drink. Okay, so let's do that first. Can you do, you know, so sort of make them Buddhist first and then share the gospel. So that's hypocrisy, like in the deepest level. At least these guys chose laws that they could keep, you know, fast twice a week, tithe. There we've got people saying, oh, yeah, I'm a good person. Oh, what are the laws? Oh, five laws. You keep them? No, but I'm good. Okay, I can't argue with that. So that's a big problem. So here he talks about two things and he says, I'm better than these guys because I keep this stuff. And so... Remember, Christ is speaking to these guys. You know, he's speaking to these guys. And then he, in verse 13, he says, but the tax gatherer, standing some distance away. You know, standing some distance away. And this distance was not created by the tax gatherer. This distance was created by the Pharisee. 100%, you know. They were not allowed to come close to the righteous people of that time. So there's the tax gatherer standing far away at some distance, was unable to lift up his eyes to heaven. He's not even able to look up to heaven, you know. And we rejoice in the doctrine. We are after the cross, the Spirit of God, such teaching. This guy didn't have that kind of assurance. He did not know the unconditional atonement. He did not know what the death of Christ would achieve for him. He did not know these things. So there he is, you know, under the old covenant, you know, the Mosaic covenant, trusting in the animal sacrifices. And that's as much as he could do, is at least come to the temple, you know, and just, you know, like that. And that's the old covenant, right? At least it brings you too close to God, but you cannot enter the veil. You can't. God is still a little far away. But in the New Testament, we are warned, don't come in like that. Walk in boldly into the throne of grace. Don't come in like that. Come. But that's for us, right? I mean, we can't expect him to I'm a sinner and I'm coming to the temple today. Like, he's not going to do that. He's going to come in like that, because that's all he had. Is he had the animal sacrifices. And that assurance is not what we have today. So he comes there, you know, and he's standing at the back because of the distance created between the Pharisee. You know, he's standing there and he can't lift up his eyes to heaven. And why can't he do that? Well, that we all know, right? I mean, hands are dirty, heart is dirty. Pastor Steve said the conscience is dirty, guilt is there, and you know, and then you've got this Pharisee really helping him with this talk, you know. Yeah, he feels guilty in himself. To add to that, the Pharisee is saying, oh yeah, and plus he's a better guy than me, I'm so bad, and all of that stuff, and he can't look up to heaven. But he was beating his breast, his chest, and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He didn't pray. He's just crying out to God. And God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there's so much. I mean, we have one sentence from that tax gatherer. I don't know how many sentences we've got from the Pharisee. And in one sentence that this tax gatherer spoke, there is so much of depth and beauty that we can see than we couldn't see in the Pharisee. Look at what he says. He says, God. He starts with God. You know, God, be merciful to me. And my point here is that when I recognize that self-righteousness is actually sin before God, I guess what I need to call it, you know, self-righteousness is sin before God, because it goes against his true righteousness. So self-righteousness is not an alternative. It's not like another option for us to get into a relationship with God. It is a hindrance, a big hindrance to a relationship with God and fellowship with God. You know, and that's why many people refuse to become Christian, because they don't agree at this point that I am a sinner. You know, my righteousness, self-righteousness cannot buy me anything. I need to trust God for his righteousness. But even as a Christian, as I walk, this self-righteousness, which is a part of the flesh or the old sin nature, needs to be discerned and needs to be said, you know what? It's sin. You know, and really, I'm speaking to you from my heart, because I'm just, you know, I have a problem with this, you know, and I have to remind myself constantly that be careful of this self-righteousness, especially as, you know, I mean, I haven't been a pastor for a long time, you know, and when you're a young pastor, especially when people start calling you pastor, the first time it sounds like really, really nice, you know, and sometimes that word can, you know, be a little like, why didn't that person say that? And it starts like, you start creating something in your heart, and I had to really, like, God had to show me that, and as a, you know, and I had to fight that, you know, it's like, that's not important, it's not something, and it can be anything else, you know, praise of men, status, and all of this stuff starts coming into the heart, and Satan can easily put the stuff in, and we get latched onto it, so that we try to make ourselves self-righteous. So self-righteousness is actually sin before God, and when this man, he recognized that he has nothing in him that is good, that is righteous, when I recognize that, my attitude would be, God, and I would call upon the character of God, be merciful to me. And that's, I don't think the soul of man can do anything greater than call upon the character of God, you know. Like, God, I know you are merciful, but I'm asking you now to be merciful to me. And I think that's so important. And, you know, like, we know God is love, but then at that moment when I'm suffering or I'm going through a trial, to let God love me is another thing, right? Like, I know God is merciful, but maybe when I stumble or I make a mistake or something, to receive that mercy is another thing. And this man, he knows God is merciful, you know, but he's asking God, God, I want you to be merciful to me today, right now, for this week, for this day, I want you to be merciful to me. And I just think that's so amazing, that when I recognize self-righteousness is wrong and I accept my true reality as depraved before God, nothing right in me, you know, everything is a gift from God, and then I would cry out to God for his character. God, be merciful to me. And David was a great example. Moses, and we have so many great examples of how men called on the character of God. So the contrast to the Pharisee is this tax gatherer. He's standing at the back. He can't look up to heaven. He's hitting his chest, but he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He says it out, you know, the sinner. He's not saying, you know, I'm not better than him. I don't do these things. I am a sinner, God. I'm a sinner. And that's so important, that the righteousness of God is not consistent good. The righteousness of God is no wrong at all. And when you recognize that, that's what righteousness truly is. I mean, I'm a sinner. There's no problem to tell God that. God, I'm a sinner. And he calls out to God. And he finishes up in verse 14. And Jesus says, I tell you. You know, Pharisees, listen. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So Jesus is, and he loves the Pharisees. They were really, really wrong. They were really, really off. But he loved them. And he really was straight to them. And he told them, listen, you want a right relationship with God. You want to be right by God. You want to be justified before God. But I tell you, that man, not you standing in front fasting twice a week and stuff like that, but it makes you right before God. It's that man, because he called out to God. He called on the character of God, and he accepted that he was a sinner. That man went home justified, you know, and that's so important. Just last 2 minutes. my wife and I, we have this kind of an agreement, you know, whenever we fight, you know, always, I mean, most of the time it's her fault, you know, and she's looking as she's there. That's why I'm saying that. I wouldn't say no. So whenever we have our fight, sometimes in the fight, it's kind of difficult to, sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes we don't accept whose fault it really is. So we kind of have this sort of like a strategy, like a ceasefire strategy. So whenever we kind of fight, we kind of give space to each other. So sometimes you might see us in the house, you know, for about 10 minutes, walking around the house, but not really talking so much, you know, but doing the stuff, not talking. And it is the moment for this, you know, I'm wrong many times. She's wrong a few times. And most of the time, it's that space is just to say, you know, go to God and say, you know what? It's my fault. It's mine. It's me. You know, and I'm sorry, forgive me, you know, be merciful to me, this is wrong, you know, and get right with God, and then, you know, sort of come back, you know, and I haven't learned to give a rose yet, but somehow, you know, find something to talk about, and say sorry, and this is so important, like, to understand that I need to go to God, I need to call on the character of God, accept what he does for me, you know, and then, you know, go to my brother, my sister, my wife, my child, and just walk with God in that. Thank you so much for having us. We're really looking forward to hearing from all of you during the conference. My wife and I have great expectation to just hear from all of you during this conference. Thank you. Amen.